Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation. 309, July 19th, 2017. The Heath Kit Story, Part 1.
Good evening, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, and we're in Pleasant Hope tonight. Just got here, as a matter of fact. Just got off the road, and here we are. But boy, we got a lot of stuff tonight. And George is down with his son in Texas, so George won't be with us. But we're all here. We've got a really neat report about Heathkit, and it's such a report. We're going to do it in two different shows. Going to do the first one tonight, but next week, now don't miss any of this. Next week, Gordon is going to interview David W7UUU, and you'll find out all about it. I mean, this is the ultimate Heathkit restorer. I'll give you a little tease. He's such a restorer, he went out and found the grave of the man that really built Heathkit and restored his grave because it wasn't in very good shape. It is an amazing story, so you'll enjoy this tonight. And, of course, we've got more. We're going to start building the transmitter tonight. And guess what? Amanda's with us. Amanda, how are you?
I'm great and glad to be back. Sorry, I missed you guys last week, and it's hot here, and getting ready to go to a rally here in Colorado, Northwest Colorado. So I'll be without internet or phones for a few days, but I'm looking forward to it. That's it, Bob. Back to you.
Okay. Well, you'll be watching the chat room. So fill up her nice tablet tonight. Come back to us and, you know, ask us questions. Come on, get it going. But Gordo, let's see, you're here for a piece of the show because you're teaching again tonight. Is that right, Gordon West?
Yep, that's right. No rest for the wicked. But you know, we're working with kids, and let me tell you, thousands of kids are coming together for the National Scout Jamboree that starts today and goes until the 27th. If you're on the air, tune in K2BSA. And Brian, if you'll quickly bring up one of the shots there, thanks to DX Engineering. The K2BSA station is going to be on 14 to 90, 7190, 39, 40. A few years ago, they ran 3,000 kids through the ham radio station. And this year, not only will they probably top that, but they're going to have a balloon launch, maybe a couple of them. They're going to talk to the International Space Station. They're going to have tea hunts as well as the radio merit badge instruction. So let me tell you, it's going to be big. And we hope all of you will have an opportunity to work a few scouts that'll be on the air. And judging by the DX Engineering antenna that's all set up, come back to me now, Brian. They're going to have a great station. Tomorrow, Bob, is the slow scan television coming down from the International Space Station. That'll be a two-day deal on 145-800. Broadcasting SSTV in the FM mode. And let's see, also this weekend, you're going to hear more about Don going to the big Oklahoma State Ham Radio Convention on Friday and Saturday. And then next week, we'll tell you more about it, is going to be the Central States VHF Society conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then a teaser, the eclipse is coming up on the 21st, and we'll be there live and direct. So, Bob, back to you. Then we'll do shorts in a few. Bob?
Oh, okay. Before we get over to Don, I was reading my QST here. I'm telling, if you don't belong to the league, now's the time. I know it's been kind of before. Now is the time. And man, this magazine's full. And guess what? I'm reading through this page about the ARRRTTY. Look at that. The RTTY contest, and look who's number three. It's a lady that we know well, NV9L. Wow. She third place. How about that? But no, serious, everybody. I tell you, it's now worth the magazine. You know, we used to have a magazine in this industry years ago, and the only reason we got the magazine was because Wayne Green wrote some great things in the front of it. Well, his editorials were great. Well, Tom is far from the craziness of Wayne Green, but Tom Gallagher has really turned the ARRL on. I mean, it's really great. You should sign up for this just to get the magazine. There's really a lot of articles in there. Don, you get QST, and I bet you read every page of it like I do, don't you?
I do. I take them to work, and when I have slow days at work, that's what I do. Waiting for commercial projects to come in, I go through QST, and Tom's column is always the first stop. It's a great read. Hey, I went to the Slidell, Louisiana Ham Fest last week, and my son tagged along, and he made out like a bandit in the flea market. He got some computer speakers for free. He got an old video camera for free, and he got another video camera for $5. And what else did he get? Oh, show the picture, Brian. He brought home a CSCE for technician. So
hey,
we are
wow.
That one cost us $15. We are anxiously awaiting his call sign. He's already picked out a vanity call, which I will reveal when we have that call assigned to him, and not before, obviously. So congratulations to Tyler, and we'll get into the solar update a little bit later on with Newsline. Dr. T is getting ready to go to Europe. So she will not be with us via video, but we will have her via her slides that she prepares for us a little bit later on, Bob, right after we do some things with pine boards, I think, right?
Right. That's great. Oh, congratulations. That's really great. I know you're real proud. And he worked hard, but if it wouldn't have been for Gordon's book, he wouldn't have done it right. No, he studied hard, and that was book to do it with is Gordon's great license manual. So, Gordo, let's go see what all you have going tonight before you take off on your teaching binge tonight. So, who are you teaching tonight? Who is it?
Yeah, emergency communicators. And by the way, Jim, K5 November Delta, along with Bill, I love his call sign, NERD, NE4RD, with the National Scout Jamboree, they say, tune in those scouts because they're going to be on the air and having a great time. Bob, we also have those free band charts. All club members need to do is to get your club training officer, write me on the club letterhead, 15 first class stamps and a small little mailing tag, and we will get it to you. So let's go ahead, Brian, and take a look and see what we're going to be doing for kids. All right. First of all, to get kids tuned in to ham radio, you need more than just a fancy van or a lot of radios. Kids to try and get them excited about something because they're so turned on with all the electronics that they have. We've done displays of radios that we see here to explain them. But you know, nothing beats getting kids on the air or working a project. So we encourage all of you, if you're thinking of doing a public display of ham radio or a maker's fair, have stuff for kids to do. And some of them, these snap kits are a great way to put together some simple circuits for kids just getting started in ham radio. And there's Tracy Lineker. And out at Quartz Fest last year, we were working with a lot of kids. And thanks to Dave and Heather, and the ARD effing is a big deal for kids. They would find just about anything we would put out there. So there's another way to get kids tuned into what ham radio is all about. And of course, drones. Yeah, kids love drones. And they'll take a huge interest when they see themselves on the ground from the lofty spot that the drone is going on. But the big deal is to get the kids on the air and doing more than just looking at someone yakking at ham radio. Now, some of the greatest kids that we've had, thanks to Don and his team and Rich Moseson, Ham of the Years. Look at these kids. This was at, I think, was it Huntsville last year, Don, or year before? But kids are our future.
Yeah, that was last year. That was our Young Ham of the Year winner in the middle there last year. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, thanks, John. And, you know, these kids get turned on with the International Space Station that the National Scout Jamboree has a set schedule with. That's Neil, W6FOG, getting the kids ready to talk to the International Space Station. And, wow, those kids were really turned on. Thanks, Neil, for his work. So if you have a little battery set up, things like that, yeah, they'll look at it for maybe 2 seconds and move on, no matter how hard you try to get them interested. Well, coming up on August 21st, wow, this will get their attention. Throughout all of the United States, you'll see a partial, or they may see the full total eclipse. That'll get kids interested in what's happening on the radio. And of course, putting them on the air as third-party traffic, that's a great way. And here's K6 Whiskey Hotel Sierra doing a field day, getting kids on the air. Well, when we do computers, kids get more turned on with that. So there's a good way to go. And that is getting a computer. But here's the key that we found out just yesterday. And that is, well, we've known it for some time. Kids love CW. And kids will send CW. They'll be captivated by it. And to get them started, a lot of different ways to learning the code. But first of all, we need to have a lot of stuff around there and a CW key that the kids are going to get turned on to. But to be able to send CW, especially their name, they need to look at it. And I know you shouldn't look at dots and dashes, but to do that. And when they started sending, look at this kid on the right side. He's holding the telegraph key completely wrong. He's using his thumb. What are they thinking? You don't use your thumb to send CW. There's two more using their thumbs. Well, the kids told me, excuse me, Mr. West, you're not doing it right. The way we work our cell phones is with our thumb. So I had to think about that. You know, they're absolutely correct. So if you build one of these simple little clothespin keyers, be prepared. They're going to pick them up and use their thumb. And if they do, fine, because they're probably going to send faster using their thumb than we can with traditionally grabbing the key in the normal way. So next time you have a demo, have a station set up with dots and dashes, and you tell them, send your first name, and I will read it in my brain. And they're absolutely amazed that we're figuring it out. Have a single key, not a whole string of keys, or else the kids will drive you crazy pounding away. Just one at a time. And this is what we have here. Paddles, no, they'll just hammer away at dits and dahs and let them rip. To really learn CW, a good old straight key is a great way to go. And, of course, with great supervision, that's Daniel, and we've got him tied into CW lighting up a pickle, because nothing is more spectacular than a lit-up pickle while sending that. Now, just yesterday, and Brian, if you'll go to the next set, just yesterday we had kids operating CW, and Brian's going to come through here and come up. There we go. And it was out in the boondocks, out in an open-air park during a concert. You'll see that we've got the ham literature there to give to their parents. And the kids would saddle right up there to the key, and we'd say, want to send your name in Morse code. And, of course, they couldn't resist. So we tell them, first, you need to know the difference between dits and daws. Okay, Brian, next shot. So now she's grabbing the key properly and sending her name, and we're able to read it. We always make the dits nice and short and the daws nice and exaggerated long. And take a look. We got a whole line of kids wanting to send their name in CW. No major prize other than a W5YI wonderful little sticker that says that they did it. We have an electronic keyer in the manual mode and a little speaker so they can hear it loud and clear. And as you can see, there's quite a line for these kids to practice sending CW. And for the really young kids, we have them say hello on a little FRS radio. And then we have an FRS operator you see on the left, a ham, that with his headset talks back to them. And they're captivated. They don't know if they're talking thousands of miles or maybe just 1 mile. So we encourage you to think about CW and sending their name in code. It's a great way to get kids involved in thinking about a new aspect of communications, and that is ham radio. So we hope everybody this week at the National Scout Jamboree has a great time. We'll be tuning you in 14, 290, 7190, 3940. They'll be on VHF, UHF. They'll be on Echolink, D-Star, you name it. They'll be out there. Ask Amanda. She'll give you all the digitals on the radio as to where they'll be. So hope everybody has a great week. Don, have fun in Oklahoma, and we'll see you next week, and we'll be talking all about VHF Society, big get-together out here in Albuquerque. So, Bob, let me go back to you, and then I'll let you direct it. Brian, thanks for all those great photos.
All right. Well, there's nothing like seeing not just young kids, but anybody that has never really thought about understanding and working Morse code, when they first figure it out and you send their name and they remember it. Oh, it's great. That smile is it's something you just can't buy. So ham radio is great for everybody to get into this hobby and have fun.
Oh, well, you're absolutely right, Bob. Those kids really get a kick out of it. And our big thanks to a brand new, soon-to-be ham, Ashley Fisher, for those final shots. Ashley, great job on the camera, and we'll look forward to having you take more photos of kids next week. Bob?
Hey, all right. Well, we're having so much fun and getting people together with their soldering iron. This pine board thing has just really exploded, I tell you, each week. It's just amazing. And I got some pictures, first of all, that we need to go through. And one of them came from Virginia. From Texas. She's just really something, and she's in the chat room every night. But Virginia sent the pictures of her wonderful work, and she did great work. What she did, first of all, she went up and got all of her stuff together from Hobby Lobby, the board from Hobby Lobby, and there it is, all built up. Her parts, I think, came from Antique Electronic Supply. Didn't she do a nice job? It was really, really nice. She's working on all the rest of it. But what a nice job! So, Virginia, keep that up, and we'll look forward to you getting it all going, so that somewhere along the way we'll get to talk to you on the air with yours. I also had a great piece that came from one of the guys that have really been into this thing, and this is a good piece. First of all, Dennis, N6DGM, there's his power supply, and he did a really pretty job, and really nice. Dennis, good work, buddy. Then we got to look at Bob, N4JGO, and he has a little lesson for all of us. You realize we have high voltage on those pins, and those high voltage that we talked about all the time, you want to protect yourself. And I've gotten a few people giving me a little trouble about, well, you don't want to teach this because of kids with the high voltage. Yes, we do. You respect the circuit, no matter if it's 12 volts or 150 volts. You respect what we're doing. And what Bob did was really cool. He took all of the high voltage pieces and he covered it up with a plate. He got standoff so it stands up higher. And that way you're not going to get in trouble with anything. What a great idea. And this is what this whole project is about. This is not just about we're telling you what to do. You're telling us things that we can do. And that's what's really fun about this whole project. So we're so thrilled about all of it. But you got to keep in mind, all of you, we're dealing with some high voltage. So be sure that before you get into all of this, that you're able to make it all happen and not have any problems. We're dealing with a 150 volts, and it's not a big deal. It really isn't when you respect it and don't play a game. So all of you that are worried about that, no, don't be worried. We respect it, and we teach that here on Ham Nation. Here's the transmitter. So many are getting ready to go with the transmitter. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to give you all of the things you're going to need to make this transmitter work. And, you know, we had a couple of other designs, but Richard and I worked together. This is his 6AG7 6V6, and it really works great. I mean to tell you, this thing works great. So what do we do to start? What you do first is you go down to Hobby Lobby, and you buy your pine board. They've got it all ready for you. It's really pretty. It's got little beveled edges and so on. And I think it's $2 or so, and there's two or three of them in a package. So that's a really good starting point. And after you do that, you need to do one other thing. We need to look at what we're going to do, where the parts are going to be mounted, and I like to take the board, and I'll show you in a minute how we arrive. But what we want to do, and you might want to make a screenshot of this, is I want to punch the holes in the board. This isn't exactly that one, but you take an awl, ice pick, and punch where you're going to have all of these parts show up. That way, it'll be real easy to put things together. These are on standoffs, but you got to do something with these first. I did just to get the holes lined up first, then I take it all back off. But that's the first thing you want to do, is to get the parts mounted where they should be, and then take them back off. And here we'll give you the real cool piece that Gene has done. What a great drawing. This is marvelous stuff. And it will give you all of the drawings and of all the pieces and the parts just as they turn out on the transmitter. That's it right there. And what you need to do first is the tube sockets. Understand, you can't get to the bottom of these, so you do them first. And I go with the schematic, and I'll show you here in a minute, a pictorial of all the wires that you need to do for each one of the sockets. But you actually make the socket ready to go. So then you get your standoffs. My standoffs I get from Lowe's, by the way, go into that automotive drawer with all those things that you can buy for different things. And they've got standoffs. These are about an inch high. And that way you can make that all mount to the pine board. There it is in the correct drawing. And all these drawings will be up on the website. So you have very clean, clear drawings. You go to heilsound.com. Go all the way down past all this microphone stuff. We're talking about the pine board section, and we're putting all of these drawings. There's a lot of comments there, and you'll want to join into some of the forum that's there. It's really cool. But you'll get to see all of Gene's drawings, and there is one of them right there. And that is this 6v6 bottom. And all you do after that is mount it on the board. You have the board ready to go. And then you can mount all the rest of the parts. It's something that you just need to take your time and do those particular prefaces, and it goes well. One of the other deals that we had to do was, we have a piece of pine board. How do we mount SO239? So what I did is my copper buses that we showed you, I took that copper bus and I ran it around and just made a little cage out of it, and it works great. It's very, very substantial, and that's how I did it. That's number 14 copper wire, and I just got it out of some Romex wire I had around here, and that works wonderful. This is the complete schematic of the transmitter. And again, it's a 6ACG7 and a 6V6. And what happens is we come out of the preamp into the 6V6. This becomes a Heising modulator. And when you modulate this tube, what it does is it goes up here and changes the plate and the screen grids at the rate of the audio. It modulates the final amplifier. It's really quite neat the way that works. And next week, George is going to do a whole treatise on this, just as he did in the preamp with this green screen and all that. It'll be really good. But you see, the B plus is coming into here. It goes up and powers the plate of the 6V6. It also goes up and gives the power to the final amplifier. But this modulator goes up and modulates that screen, and that causes the electrons to be amplified at the audio frequency. It's a very cool, simple way to get AM without a lot of big transformers and all of that. But we'll get into more of that as we get along. We're quite a bit ahead of ourselves on this, but I want to show you the whole thing. We're going to go back and review it in a minute. There is the complete parts list. You go to Antique Electronic Supply, and in the search box, you put Ham Nation, and all these kits will come up. You'll have the field strength meter. You will have the preamp. You will have the power supply, and then this transmitter will go in probably next week. But all of the parts are there. We also want to pay attention that they don't have all of the parts. The tubes are going to come from SND Tube Sales and Antique Electronics to all of the Bs. This C is Radio Days. There's a couple of parts that we have to go there for. And MFJ is doing the final coil. We talked about that last week. They're doing a very special coil for us. And you have to go to their, it's not in their catalog, but you go to their website or call them on the phone. Pick up the phone, and I don't know, people are so adverse today at calling. But there's a special number that they've applied to it. 404-0811. Now, 0811 is for their amplifier, the 811 amplifier. But you put a dash one on it, and it's the one just for the Pine Board project. So that's exactly what's going on. I want to go back and review a couple of things that in the beginning that's very important for you. You're going to... This is what we're going to end up with. By the way, that switch is, I just put it there, and I did it like I did the coax connector. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet. That might be the key switch. I'm not sure, but I put it in there. It's ready to do. You see, you do these things while you're doing it, and hey, maybe I need that later. But the transmitter works so well. I'm very, very happy with it. Richard and I have been talking in the mornings with it, and we're happy with it. And this is the, without the tubes, you can see how it's laid out. And that wonderful coil. You see that little piece there that's bent? You take that clip lead we have on it and clip it there. It's 40 meters. That's how we change bands. And you could put a switch in there if you wanted to. And we'll talk about that as we get on to it. But there's what you're going to start with. You want to get your pine board from Hobby Lobby or make your own and start putting things together. You'll need some terminal strips here. These are just solder lugs here that the coil is going to solder to. These are the terminal strips, and those are all listed in the parts. And then you want to do your tube sockets, the 6V6 or the 6AG7. And if you want to go on to mount your SO239, you can do that. That works great. I'm very happy with that because I wasn't sure I was going to do it. But there's the most important thing. That is the schematic for this transmitter. And once you get that all down and thinking about it, you're going to have to buy parts, and there's where you get them. So you can go to HeilSound.com, and down at the bottom of the ham radio page is a complete section with many, many, many pages about the pine board, everything that we've done. And thanks to Brian. Thank you so much for doing this, Brian. Brian is taking just each one of these sections. You don't have to page through the whole show. And Brian has done that for you. So those are showing up as we get them from Brian. But I'm really excited about it. I'm excited for all of you because we get so many guys and gals building. We've got a couple of children building. Yes, and they know to keep their hands away from high voltage. golly, we have to respect whatever we do, no matter if it's 12 volts or 150 volts. But I hope that you're going to join us with all this because it's just too much fun. I do have to tell you, it's real ham radio. When I get on, I'll be on in the morning and talking to the guys here using that transmitter. And we're talking to people a couple hundred, 300 miles away on 75 meters in the morning. So pretty neat stuff. So that's what we got going, Don. I hope that you guys will someday help us. Maybe you and Tyler could do this, but we're happy to bring all of this great building to Ham Nation. That's what it's all about, is to make ham radio more fun. What do you think, Don?
Yeah, I think that would make a very cool father-son project, especially for a brand new ham to get in and get into that and learn about that. And like you said, start off respecting what's going on in there, because there's the high voltage. I've gotten across some line voltage before, fingertip to fingertip once. And let me tell you something, you'll remember it for the rest of your life, and hopefully you'll only do it once and live to be able to do it twice. So, yeah, you gotta respect it. But the best thing, and there goes my phone, the best thing about the pine board, I think, Bob, is that it's back to basics ham radio. The way that it used to be with making your own stuff and the satisfaction that it's working and you know how to fix it. But if you're more into the modern stuff, might I suggest a company like maybe perhaps ICOM?
Start this year's contest season with ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it. The time is now to get your contesting equipment. Let ICOM help you make as many contacts as possible. Start off strong in the contesting this season with the IC7300. Ideal for the ham on the go, it's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Use the IC7851 and get the most out of contest season. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. For more information on all ICOM radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
And, of course, you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation, where you can register for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a brand new, thoroughly modern ICOM radio. And for July, that rig is the ID4100A, brand new entry-level analog and D-Star mobile. It's a dual band featuring 50 watts on both UHF and VHF, one band at a time. Has a built-in GPS receiver, dot matrix display, three selectable colors, very cool, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, available Android and iOS apps. The Near Me repeater functions, all the latest D-Star features that you find on the ID51 that simplify and completely revolutionized D-Star operations, and a whole lot more. ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Go and find out more about that. George taking the night off tonight, so we do not have a George trivia question. We'll resume that when George gets back. And why don't we go ahead and slip into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2072, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. The annual Boy Scouts Jamboree on the air isn't until October, but that doesn't mean the K2BSA folks aren't busy. There's almost always a K2BSA activation from a scout camp somewhere, but right now it's the biggie. The National Boy Scout Jamboree at Summit Bechtel Reserve in West Virginia is host to 5,000 scouting hams, along with 40,000 others every 4 years. We caught up with Russ Mikowitz, N7QR, one of a pair of technical advisors for the National Jamboree. Russ, give us a little background on what your job entails.
My job in the Jamboree is the technical crew for K2BSA. I have one person on my staff, Jason Miller. Between us two, we sort of shepherd the rest of the operations people. We get labor from wherever we can find it, and essentially put the radios together, put the antennas together, get all the feed lines together, and set up around six stations. We'll have a VHF station and about four HF stations and maybe a rover station that can do other things like EchoLink. So the other part of my job is if anything breaks, see if we can put it back together again, or if smoke gets out, we try and put it back in the box so that we have stations operating all the time. And then at the end, we'll run around for a couple of days, putting it all, boxing it all up, putting it in a trailer, and shipping it back to where they store it.
It's a big job. So get on the air and listen for the National Jamboree stations now through July 28th. Hamfest season rolls on with the Oklahoma City Ham Holiday this coming weekend, July 21st and 22nd. Ham Holiday has been an annual event in the capital city of the Sooner State since 1974, and this year marks the debut of their new venue, the 15-story Tower Hotel. I'm honored to be attending this year as a speaker at the Friday night banquet, and I'll be attending the Hamfest on Saturday as well, taking in a couple of forums, meeting people, and soaking in the great Oklahoma hospitality. It's going to be so good to be back in the place where I grew up. Another member of the Newsline staff hails from the Oklahoma City area, Mike Askins, KE5CXP. He'll be in attendance as well. Mike and I will look for you in OKC this weekend. There's a big Hamfest coming up next month in the Chicagoland area, and Neil Rapp has more on that one.
A lot of planning has gone into the 83rd annual Hamfesters Radio Club Hamfest being held on Sunday, August 6th at the Will County Fairgrounds south of Chicago. Exhibits open at 8 a.m. inside a fully air-conditioned building. For enthusiastic shoppers, the flea market will actually be open starting at 6 a.m. so bargain hunters can get a two-hour jump on things. Tickets can be bought online. They are $8 in advance, $10 at the gate, and children younger than 12 are admitted free. Speakers include broadcast producer Christian Kudnick, K0STH, host of the 100 Watts in a Wire podcast, Keenan Campbell, KB9ZDK, director of the Bureau County Emergency Management Agency, and Mark Thompson, WB9QZB, founder of the Yaesu Fusion System Yahoo Group. This is Piatone's largest Hamfest with 14,200 square feet of exhibit space. Perhaps one of the best things you can leave with, if you don't have it already, is a new license or an upgrade. VE testing will be available between 8 a.m. and 10:30. For more details, visit the website hamfesters.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Russ Mikowitz, N7QR, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, 73. See you in Oklahoma City, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. I am beyond excited to go to Oklahoma City, and what's going to be very cool is my friend Mike Askins, KE5CXP, who you saw there in the report, is going to be there. Mike is one of my absolute oldest friends. There's a group of us that met in first grade and literally grew up together and went to school together. And Mike and I palled around with CB radio together back in the 70s and girls in cars and got into broadcasting at the same time. Started our careers at the same radio station, KGFF in Shawnee, Oklahoma. He's still there. He runs the place now, 40 years later. And so to go back and hang out with Mike at the Ham Fest. The last time I was at the Oklahoma City Ham Fest was 1995, and Mike was with me then too. So, yeah, it's gonna be a great time. I absolutely cannot wait. Somebody else who's doing a little bit of traveling is Dr. Tamitha Scove. She is on her way to Belgium, a little bit farther than Oklahoma City, slightly longer airplane ride. But she left us some slides for the solar update, so let's go ahead and get into that. So she says that we're finally calming down from the Bastille Day solar storm, but expect things may not quiet down entirely. We have a remnant of a coronal hole that will be rotating into the Earth's strike zone in a few days and sending us some fast wind starting around the 21st. This means we have a chance for some short-lived storming as we approach the weekend. And as we look at the flare and radiation storm outlook on the next slide, region 2665 has finally rotated to the sun's backside, so the threat of M-class flares is finally over. The noise on the ham radio band should now be quieting down, and with the solar storm over, propagation should return to near normal for this time of the solar cycle. Great news for the folks at K2BSA at the Jamboree. The solar flux has also dropped since 2665 disappeared behind the sun's west limb. So overall, expect marginal conditions this week. And if you'd like to get her daily, up-to-the-minute updates, she was up tweeting all night the other night, and actually had a piece on the Weather Channel, which was very cool. Go to follow her on Twitter at Tamitha Scove, and also her website is spaceweatherwoman.com. And we appreciate everything that she does for us, Bob. And you know, we've got everything from the modern ICOM radios with their new DSP 7300 and the D-Star stuff to what you're doing with the Pine Board Project, and we go back to the beginnings of kits with Heathkit. So we've got a lot of good stuff on the show tonight, Bob. Let's talk about Heathkit, shall we?
This is one amazing story. Many of our viewers have heard of Heathkit. Many of us figure Heathkit was our education in electronics. It certainly was for me. I built dozens of things from kilowatt amplifiers to VHF converters. They had a whole raft of things. You could build a television, a color television back in the 60s. You could build a Thomas organ. These were kits, and it was just amazing. Well, this story is kind of there, but nobody ever put it together except Dave, W7UUU. He is just a Heathkit fanatic. And what he's done, he's restored a lot of it, but for things he needed to build, like an audio filter, he has an impedance matching box for his high impedance to low impedance. He built, and it all looks like Heathkit stuff. He did it exactly. Well, he's on the road. He can't be here tonight, but this is such a big story, we're going to split it up. You must be here next week because Dave will be here with Gordon, and Gordon's going to go into the final part of his life as to how he got involved. It's really amazing. But tonight we're going to run you some slides. You can crank them up there, Brian. And first of all, he's doing a special event station starting this weekend. And it's called, the call is K1T. Kind of look like Kit, doesn't it? I told you, this guy is a Kit fanatic. But 70 years ago, in July of 1947, Howard Anthony introduced the first electronic product, which was called the Heathkit. He changed the world of kit building and amateur radio and a lot of other things, creating the standard, and it still is preferred today. So the next slide, we're going to see the great Howard Anthony, as he just had acquired the Heathkit Company. And this was back in 1935. And 4 years after he did this, he died in a plane crash of a Heath parasol airplane kit. And that was really, really sad, because both of them, first of all, it was founded by Edward Heath. I think we have a picture of Edward. He was the next slide, perhaps. No, okay, we'll come back to that. This is the station that, that next slide, that's the station that Dave will be running on CW. Now, this is all Heathkit stuff, but you'll notice a couple of boxes that don't look too much like Heathkit. He built it, and he did everything from the chassis and painted it the same color. He just went crazy doing all this over the last few years. And next, you will see another wonderful little product he built. Now, he calls it Fake Heathkit. He took an old phone patch box and relabeled it and repainted it and all of that. And in that, he's got a one of the Autec audio filters, and the auxiliary channel goes in so he can have his iPod into it. All kinds of really cool things. The input selector above, he can select different receivers into it. Next, we will see another one of his greats. You ready for that? That's a 7300 that he built into a Heathkit amplifier box. I mean, he couldn't have an ICOM radio in his Heathkit station. Dave, you're just too much, buddy. But that's his 7300 in a Heathkit. I think that's an SB200 box, but he repainted it all. And next... is too much. This is a very cool thing. He built this from scratch, and the mother of invention once said that brings great things to us, and there's one of them at the top. What is a, it's a one out and six in speaker selector, so he can take all of his different receivers and switch them to the different transceivers, or actually the receiver part of it. On the bottom of that page is the same idea, but that's for the keying. For he's a quite an avid CW operator, and that switches the key to different transmitters. But you'll note they're in boxes that look exactly like they came from Heathkit. Next, we get to see another cool thing. This is a very cool thing. It's a fan control, and it has a variable speed on the fan control. And when he uses it on different, he can switch it to different things, different pieces of gear, and he can change the rate of the fan. So again, looks just like a Heathkit. Well, it was a fake Heathkit, as he calls it. And next, you'll see how he did it. Look at some of the metalwork he did. Said he turned his garage into a paint booth. He bent the chassis if he had to make new ones, or found old Heathkit things and built all of the cabinets, sprayed it all, found the paint that matched exactly the Heathkit colors, and did it right, though. It's self-etching zinc chromate aluminum primer. This is really a beautiful, beautiful project, and the K1T project is that's something that's really, really great from Dave, W7UUU. And I think the last one will give us a little bit of information that I just thought was amazing. You know, people restore things. He really restored it. He found out that Howard Anthony, the guy that brought Heathkit electronic parts to us, was buried in Michigan and just kind of forgotten. So he goes up and finds the grave in Michigan and restored the grave. He did a plaque with Howard's picture and went there. Some of the family members... he found some of those guys that were family members of Howard, And they went out to the gravesite and did this. So he restored the grave of the great Howard Anthony. And that was a newspaper article. Well, what we want to look at last is what's going to happen on this K1T special event. Now, let's really build this up and make it happen for him. It's going to be going for 2 weeks. And there you are. It goes live on the 23rd, and it ends August the 5th at 2359. And he says, I'll be on as much as I can. So be watching and listening for K1T. And he'll have an eye on the DX maps, and I'm sure he'll be spotted. But let's see if we can help him make things happen with all of his Heathkit stuff. So next week, he will be here, and he's going to tell you the history, because it was really started by Ed Heath back in the 20s. And the first Heathkit was an airplane. And it was the only. That's what he did. Heath was building airplane kits. And he didn't have any electronics at all. It was airplanes. And he died in his own airplane kit. Well, a few years later, Howard bought it. Howard Anthony. And he was an electronic engineer and started the electronic part that we are also familiar with. He also died in his airplane. So kind of sad, but it lives on and still today because of people like Dave and all of us that admire Heathkit. What a story. That was chapter one. We'll see you next week for chapter two, because there's just not enough time to go through it. Plus, he couldn't be here, so I thought it would be kind of neat to make that happen. So with all of that, what can I tell you? I'm going to toss it back to Amanda. I had a couple other things, but we're running a little long. So we're going to get back and see what Amanda's got. Amanda, you've been looking at the chat room. Nice to see you back, by the way, and I hope everything's well.
Everything is wonderful here. And thank you so much, Bob. If you haven't been watching the chat room while you were talking, oh my gosh, everyone's going crazy about talking about the Heathkits that they built or their parents built, buying a Heathkit tube TV. So they are going to be thrilled to watch next week for sure. And next thing on my list here, I'd just like to say to Neil Rapp from Amateur Radio Newsline, we're very sorry for the loss of your father. And he's a major contributor to AR Newsline. And we're all so sad, and we've been following it on Facebook. That being said, this question goes to Don. Don, everyone wants to know, what's Tyler's first radio going to be?
He's going to have, I don't have it in here with me, but he's I have two ID51s. I have an ID51 and an ID51 Plus. The black original ID51 I'm giving to him, and I'm keeping my orange ID51 Plus. That way we can tell them apart. So that's going to be his first radio. And I have a dual band mobile around here somewhere out in the garage that I haven't used in a long time, but I know still works. And we're going to put that in his truck once he gets it going. So he's got equipment already. We're just waiting on the license.
That's awesome. And Seth, we're awesome. So proud and of you, Tyler. Okay, next question. This is kind of a group question. Anybody operated JT8 yet? You've seen it come out this week. Don, what about you?
I have not. I'm not a big fan of JT65 because it takes so long. But JT8 is much quicker, so I am definitely going to give that a shot. Probably once I get back from Oklahoma City and do some repair on my 160-meter wire. I've got the apex of the wire being held up by some of those military surplus fiberglass poles. And I had a little bit too much lateral force on it, and it snapped one of those poles. So that antenna is laying on top of my roof right now, and I won't get a chance to get pay any attention to that until I get back from Oklahoma City. But once I get that fixed and have some time to decompress and play around with radios, I'm definitely going to try it because I'm intrigued. Looks interesting.
I am too. I think it's great that it's going to, they say 15 seconds, K7AY said 15 second transmission to make a cue. So, Bob, I know you don't do a lot of digital, but have you heard about it?
I have. But there again, I have to be home to do these things. That's the problem. And I haven't really gotten into it because I haven't been around much this month. But we might get into that and see what we can do. Have to turn off the pine board and start experimenting in other modes, right?
Oh, I think it's a good assignment for George or Randy. Randy, I know you're in the chat room. Pay attention to this. You taught us about Whisper. Let's find out about JT8 as well. All right, couple more things here. The Ham Nation 300 Challenge. Don't forget, we're going until August 31st on that. So get your selfies. Get your selfies with Don this weekend while he's at the Ham Convention. And other than that, I'm just going to talk about the nets. We have the 14-272. For the 20 meter net, 71-92 for the 40 meter net, 14 Charlie for the D Star net, Dewdrop In for the Echolink net, and TAC 311 for the DMR net. So I hope you guys can join in. I'm going to go pack for this weekend, and I think that's all I have. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, well, it's so good to see you back, and hope you're having lots of fun. We'll get on the air a little bit this weekend after I get back. We're going to be in Cleveland at the Rock Hall, so if anybody's around the Rock Hall this weekend, we're going to be there. They're moving the display around somewhere, so we got to go up and see what they're doing. New things happening all the time. I got a couple of emails just a little bit ago. They want to see the whole thing. There's the whole thing right there. That's the pine board. Complete, and that's what we're using each morning. It just works so well. I'm amazed. It works good on 40 meters or 75. It's a power supply, preamp, microphone, preamp, and with EQ. That's the amazing part, and the transmitter. So we're excited, but that's what we do each morning here, and we're getting about 2 watts out of it. If I up the power, which I can do, I get about 5 watts out of it. So we'll get into how to do all that later, but we got to get started on it for all you guys and gals. Well, thanks a lot for joining us tonight, and we'll be back here next week, right here, same channel, same time, all that stuff. And appreciate all of the nice comments that everybody puts on the different forums about Ham Nation. And thanks to Leo Laporte. Thanks to you very much, Brian. And the chat room, we couldn't do without you. So thanks for being there. We'll see you all back here next week. Yes.
Hey, I have one quick update that I wanted to mention. It slipped my mind earlier about the Ham Nation 300 special event that we ran. People are still waiting on their certificates. What has been the delay is there was some problems with an update to the web host that the website for the certificates is hosted on. And so we've kind of had to start over from scratch on that. So that has been the delay on the Ham Nation 300 certificates. They are in work, and we are working to get those out to you just as soon as we possibly can. It's kind of embarrassing that we haven't got those together yet, but it's just one of the things that that happens when you have to rebuild a website from scratch and get those started going again. So be patient on those, and we'll get those out to you just as soon as we possibly can. And also, again, thanks to Ted Randall and WTWW 5085 and 12.105, the huge signal into Africa, simulcasting Ham Nation every Wednesday night. And of course, the QSO radio show on Tuesdays, where he has me on for no apparent reason on the first Tuesday of every month. So don't forget about that. And again, we're working on those Ham Nation 300 certificates just as fast as we possibly can. Bob, thanks.
Okay, very, very good. Very good. Somebody sent me a note on my phone and said, what are you talking in? This is a real special mic that's going to the Rock Hall. This is a PR-22. That our custom shop did a very cool thing with camo, but it's signed by George Jones, the late George Jones, and Charlie Daniels.
Ooh.
Wow. Look at that.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I've had it for some time. Of course, with George, we did George's microphones for several years, his later years. And once he got a hold of the 22, it was all over. But I had to get Charlie on it, and I wasn't around Charlie till just recently. But anyway, we love doing that kind of stuff, and that'll be in the Rock Hall shortly. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you back here next week. Please, please invite your friends. This Heathkit story is something special. Get on this weekend and look for K1T. Almost looks like Kit, something like that. Thanks to all, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.